Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hello, my friend. Today, we're talking about embracing change in your entrepreneurship journey. And I just want to start with getting one thing really, really clear and saying it's okay to change things in your business. And I say this because it's very easy to get caught up in the idea that once we make a decision about something inside our business, that we need to stick with it forever. Now, it's great to stick with something for a while to give it a chance because you never know what's going to work and what's not going to work. So that's a great thing. But it doesn't mean you have to do it forever. And that's where I think we can get really, really stuck. And of course, the other thing that typically gets in our minds as we're thinking about making a change in our business is, what will other people think or say about this? And the truth is, people are going to have their thoughts and they're going to have their opinions. But you, my friend, are the one that has to live with your decision. This goes for your life and inside your business as well. And so you have to do what's best for you in your business. And I'm sure you've heard this too. I've heard it my whole life, is that the only constant thing in life is change. And it is true. We have to navigate a lot of change in our life, but this is especially true for accidental entrepreneurship. So you're going against the grain. You have said, I want to create this business that integrates into my life instead of taking it over. And I want to do things differently. I want to have this integration with my business and life so that I can be happy. You're doing something different. And the only way that you will have success with that and actually make that happen, to have that integration, is if you make changes in your business to adapt to the changes that are happening. And there's two different ways that things adapt. And the first is, it's yourself. You are going to change and adapt as an accidental entrepreneur. One thing that you start your business with could be something that you change later. And so you have to adapt to that, what you want in your business. Again, you're going against the grain and doing something differently. And the other component is your customers, your clients. If you don't adapt to what they need and what their wants and desires and needs are, your business is going to shut down. And it makes sense when we think about it like that, that no one's going to stay the same forever. And that goes for your customers and your clients. So the thing that works right now is probably not going to work in 5, 10 years, maybe even 2, maybe even 6 months down the road. Things change. And so we have to adapt to both what we want and need, as well as what our customers want and need. So we're going to dig in and talk about this today, because I think it's one of the things that we don't talk about as often. And I'm going to share a lot about my experience with this. And I'm actually going to share with you something that I made a pretty massive change in my business recently that you don't know about yet. Some people do, but most people don't. And I'm going to tell you all about it, including all the feelings that come along with it. So let's dig in. So when I was thinking about talking about this topic, I thought to myself, you know, we look at successful entrepreneurs all the time and we look to them and we see, gosh, they've got it all together and we think about this. But really what we don't see is all the changes that they have made. And there isn't a successful entrepreneur that I know or that I've learned from, that you've learned from, that hasn't experienced a lot of change in their business. This goes from the person who started as a fashion blogger and then decided to open up a boutique. You can see how that would naturally happen. This also happens all the time in the VC-funded world. So we're talking big new businesses that are funded and they have a board of directors and they have changes all the time. I'm thinking of one that I know of that went from working with pharmacies and made a big shift to working with individual clinics. And so the reason that we make these changes are because of what I said at the beginning. We need to change for what we want. That fashion blogger that's like, you know what? I love talking about this on my blog, but you know what would be really cool is if I could sell some of the things I'm talking about. And that business evolves and it catered to that person's needs, meaning the customer's needs as well. So if you follow a blogger and you're like, you know what? I love that she has these linen, you know, outfits that I just love. If you can't tell, I'm thinking about linen right now. And you know, like you just love what she has and you're like, I wish I could just buy that from her because she's talking about it. And she adapted to that and then created the boutique, right? Same thing with this big firm that, you know, maybe they start the business and they are like, you know what, we're going to work with pharmacies. And then along the way, they see the breadcrumbs that, oh, you know what, we need to make a change and work with individual clinics instead of the pharmacy. You can see how this can happen. And I realize that those are two very different businesses, but I want you to see how every single business navigates change. It's a mark of a successful entrepreneur because, like I said, they followed the breadcrumbs. Your customers are leaving breadcrumbs for you, and I want you to follow them. Also, your desires are leaving breadcrumbs for you as well, and I want you to follow those. And it's these two things that we really have to focus on so that we can make successful changes in our business. So I want to share my example with you, and I'm going to give you the quick timeline, and if you want to see it, you can see it in the show notes as well. And so I started my business in 2017, and at that point, I had gone through a layoff, and I had no stinking clue what I was going to do as an entrepreneur, but I thought, I've got an opportunity, maybe I should try it. And right away, I was very fortunate that I was hired by corporations, and this was because that was my network of people. The corporations hired me to write emails and do specific marketing things for them. And it was lovely. I made money right away, which is so wonderful when you think about that. However, it wasn't what I wanted. I didn't know that at the time, but I just started working. But I followed the breadcrumbs of what I was finding in myself of, I don't really think this is it, but I was working with great companies. So I was very happy with who I was working with. I just knew, I don't think this is the exact fit for me, but I'm going to keep going. So again, I followed those breadcrumbs for myself and I ended up working with a yoga teacher and I realized, oh my gosh, I really am loving this. I can help her so much. She's asking me all these questions and she's so appreciative of all the help. And I thought, oh my gosh, I can help yoga teachers. I love this. So in 2018, I made that choice. Now, there was a transition period in terms of when I was working with corporations and then picking up working with yoga teachers. Like this was kind of a process in and of itself, which I'll dive into. But I followed the breadcrumb of, oh, this is fun for me. I'm going to do more of this. So I started group programs, one-on-one coaching, and it was really highly individualized because I didn't know what I didn't know about working with yoga teachers. But at that point, I realized that's how I want to niche down. Then in 2019, I was working exclusively with yoga teachers at this point. I had phased out all of the corporate gigs that I had at that point. I also started this podcast and I started an online membership. So I went from offering one type of thing, meaning group and one-on-one coaching, and then I created an online membership, which is what I focused on for the next several years. So that was in 2019. So in 2020 and 2021, I was continuing to work with yoga teachers and 100% focused on the online membership. Now, I did have coaching, kind of like when people would ask about it, I would have a coaching call with someone. But mainly it was the online membership that I had. And I saw significant growth. The reason I'm sharing this is because all of this, as you can see, 2017 started, 2018 made a shift, 2019 made another shift and started different things. When I was making these changes, I was following the breadcrumbs of both what I wanted to do and what I saw the market needing. So then that's what I did in 2020 and 2021. Now in 2022, I was still focused on working exclusively with yoga teachers, but I started noticing changes in who was following me, who was listening to the podcast, who was following me on Instagram, who's on my email list, and who's communicating with me. Several people, not just one or two, like we're talking multiple people here, said, "Amanda, I'm not a yoga teacher, but..." And so I started hearing this more and more from people, and it was almost like they were apologizing to like follow my suggestions that I shared on the podcast and in different places for not being a yoga teacher. And I was like, this is not what I want. I definitely don't want people to feel like they need to apologize to me. So I realized my audience is shifting and I like that. I want to continue to work with yoga teachers, but really who I want to work with is people who are stumbling into entrepreneurship. And that's when I started to think about the term accidental entrepreneur. And I started thinking, okay, I want to shift things so that I'm calling in the people who really want my support and help in growing their business when none of the other entrepreneurship stuff is really resonating with them and they want to get support from a coach like myself. So at that point, I hadn't changed anything front-facing, like the name of the podcast hadn't changed at that point, but I again was following the breadcrumbs. Also in 2022, I started writing my book. So in 2023, I shifted everything, meaning the title of the podcast changed and I published my book. And it's still in the process of being published at the time of this recording, but all of this was happening. And here comes the big announcement that the thing that changed in my business that you probably don't even know is that I actually closed my online membership. And this was a big change. As you can imagine, not only from a revenue standpoint, but from an emotional standpoint, this was a huge change. I'm still having people reach out to me, and so I wanted to make sure to say it on the podcast that my membership, it was called Thrive, is no longer in existence. And it was a tough thing to decide to do, but it was the right choice. And I'll go into that a little bit more, but that's what I made the change. So in 2023, when I'm recording this now, I've closed the online membership. I'm focused more on coaching again, meaning group programs, really highly focused on accountability and some one-on-one coaching as well, but mainly in small groups and different offerings like that. And this change happened because I was following the breadcrumbs from not only what I wanted and what I was drawn to, but also what I was seeing happen in my business, in my audience, as well as in the market. I've shared a lot about this when I was closing the membership with the members, as well as people that I've coached individually. And I said, you know, in 2020 and 2021, I noticed a huge need for community. And I created my online membership in 2019, so it was already created, but I saw massive growth with it, which was lovely for both my revenue and my business, but also for the people that it helped. And I saw that growth because people needed community, and a membership was a great option for that. However, at this point in the game, at 2023, when I'm recording this, people still want community. That's not necessarily that people don't want it, but people are back in person and doing a lot of things with other people. And so community isn't the number one thing people are looking for. More people are looking for accountability in terms of what they're looking for from me. So I shifted not only my offerings, but how I'm talking on the podcast and really helping in different areas because I shifted because I saw the need in the market. So all of that to say, you're officially caught up in my business, and that's my example. But I also wanted to highlight a few things that happened in that example so that you know really how I navigated that change and how you may navigate this change as well. Hey there. I promise to get you back to the great episode you're listening to really soon, but first I've got a question for you. How does success feel to you? This is a question that I didn't answer for many years in my business, but once I did, it changed everything, and I want the same for you. So I've created a free guide that will help you define success on your own terms in just 20 minutes. Go to amandamckinney.com/success to download the free guide so you can define success on your own terms and then unapologetically pursue that definition. Okay, let's jump back into the episode. So although the changes were different as I went through all of those years and changes, there were a few things that were very common across all changes. Number one, there was an internal nudge within myself. I knew there was something changing. It wasn't fleeting, and it stuck around for a long time. So I'm talking months. It wasn't like a moment where I thought something needed to change. It really hung around. So I didn't do anything right away, but I felt it internally. Another thing that was common for myself was I had a lot of feelings. I was scared, I was confused, I was excited, I was unsure, I was ready, and I was worried about what others would think. All of those feelings were very, very present during these times. The other thing that was common for these changes was that other people noticed. So my close biz besties and coaches mentioned something was shifting. Other people noticed and conversations happened. So that allowed me to put words to my feelings, which was very, very helpful. Another thing was that it was a transition. I did not do this in a moment. It took place over time. I made slow, deliberate changes that helped me communicate this both to myself as well as my clients, as well as everyone else in my audience when it was appropriate to share. But nothing was done without intention and time. So that is the key here. And then the other thing I noticed within myself, which could be different for you, but when it was time, it was time. Like I thought about the change, and every time a change was happening, I thought about it for a really long time, months even. I do quarterly check-ins, and there were several quarters that I would be like, this is still working in my mind. Like this issue is still present. But there was a moment, there was a shift that it was clear to make the choice. And all of a sudden, I knew without a doubt that it was time to move, and I moved forward with confidence. So those are the things that I noticed as I was navigating that change. And so as I was thinking about this and wanting to share with you, I thought, you know, I need to also really make sure that it's clear that I don't really love change. It depends on what the change is, but typically speaking, I'm a very structured person. I have a plan. I want to follow it. And so this was definitely not easy for me. This may be very easy for you, and you can navigate change with ease. That's lovely. That is not necessarily what happens for me. So whichever side you're on, it doesn't matter. Change is happening, and we have to navigate it. So for me, it's really helpful to know, number one, I am not alone. That this happens to everyone that's running a business, and you have to learn how to navigate it. And it's also helpful for me to know some of the science behind what's happening. So I looked up why we often resist change as humans. And no surprise here, it's fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of losing control, fear of change itself, and fear thinking back to past experiences, beliefs, and cultural norms. So we resist change because our bodies are not conditioned for it. And the one that comes up the most is, what are other people going to say? What are they going to think? Are they going to think I'm, you know, just changing things all the time? Like that's what I was really thinking a lot. But again, like I said at the beginning, people are going to have their opinions. But what I have found is that if you are truly set in the decision, you've taken time to think about it, and then you're ready to make the choice, moving forward with confidence is the best thing you can do, and communicating it clearly. So in the case of canceling my membership and closing that, it was a moment, and everyone who was in Thrive who's listening now, I would say, you know, the message that I sent was very sincere and very clear of what was happening, but the emotion was there. I was definitely, like, I got teary when I shared the information. Like, it wasn't something that I was like, hurrah, I'm changing this, and I'm so excited for this change. Like, I knew the change had to happen, but I was definitely feeling all the emotions, and I simply communicated it. And I was set in the decision and clear in it, but I moved forward with clarity and confidence. And that made all the difference in terms of closing the membership and navigating that change, which impacted a lot of people. So it wasn't like just something that was like an easy change. It happened over the course of a month and it impacted a lot of people. So when a change does impact a lot of people, you really want to be clear about how the change is going to happen and how you're going to move forward for sure. The other thing I want to note as I'm thinking about closing my membership is something that came up that I thought, gosh, this is going to happen for a lot of people too, is that when you're making a change that impacts a lot of people, meaning your students, your clients, et cetera, oftentimes you'll make the decision, you work through the decision on your own, and then there's a moment, whether it's early in the process or later, that you start to see your clients' faces and you remember everyone who's going to be impacted. So for me, this happened, you know, throughout the process, but once I had made the decision and no one knew the decision, but once I made the decision, I happened to have a Q&A call very soon after that, like a day or two. And I had kind of mapped out what I was going to do. But again, no one knew this decision had been made because I had not communicated it yet. I got on a Q&A call and I saw everyone's face immediately that had joined. And my heart, oh my gosh, my heart just sunk. My stomach hurt. It was one of those times where I was like, oh my gosh, can I really do this? Like, I don't want to close it. Like, it was such an interesting experience. So the reason I'm saying this is because you're going to navigate a lot of weird emotions of ups and downs, especially when it involves other people, people that you care about, people that you want to continue to serve and help, but you know something has to change. And so if you find yourself hesitating to make the change, just remember why you're making the change and also remembering that you intentionally chose entrepreneurship, and I'm going to say accidental entrepreneurship because it's even slightly different, is like you chose to go down this path of creating a business that integrates into your life, and you're trying to do this with every bit of intention so that you can live a life of happiness. And if you ignore this decision that is really hard, and I totally understand it, if you ignore it, you're going to get down the road and it's going to be worse. So just remember that you are in control of this and the emotions are hard. I'm not going to say they're easy at all, but what you want to remember is that this is for the greater good overall. And so change, while it's hard, is often a really good thing when you're following those breadcrumbs for yourself or your clients. And speaking of resisting change, this is something that can come up, and I wanted to call attention to how this can show up for you, because you might be like, am I resisting change? I don't know. Because I wanted to say, like, hesitation in moving forward and taking action, like, that is resisting change. When you are very hesitant to move forward and say, like, I'm going to make this choice, I'm intentionally making this choice, but you're not taking action with it, you are resisting the change. So dig into that. Also, defensive words and thoughts about the possible change. So you could be talking to someone, maybe a biz bestie or a coach or something, and you start to get defensive. And that would be an indication, like something in you is resisting the change, and you might want to dig into that a little bit more. And other times you might be really skeptical that the change is going to be good or bad. And none of these things are necessarily wrong. I'm just bringing them to your attention so that you can notice when you're starting to resist the change, because what can happen is you can get stuck. So just like at the beginning when I was talking about, you feel like you make a decision in your business and you're stuck with it forever, like that's definitely not where you want to be, but you also don't want to be stuck in not making a decision about a choice. So once you know the decision needs to be made, like if you start noticing the resistance, like really get some support from a coach, from a therapist, whatever the need is specifically, like make sure to get that support for sure. So as I've shared all of my story and all of how this has shown up for me, I want to shift focus and talk about some tips for navigating change. Now, I'm pulling from my experience, but this is applying to you and your business. And I want you to take these tips and run with what works for you. And I've boiled it down to just three things that I believe will be the most helpful for you if you are navigating a change or it's starting to brew inside of you. So the first is notice before acting. So let's say you notice a change in your customer's behavior. So maybe you're getting less purchases or more purchases of something or more questions or less questions. I want you to track that over the period of 3 to 6 months. Data is your friend. I talk about this a lot with my students that you want to balance your heart and the data. Most people tend to want to lean on one or the other, and I fully believe that they can integrate together. I want you to know what's happening and feel that internal nudge of something is off. I need to make a change. Feel that internal nudge and then lean on the data, because then when your emotions are taking over and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. I just saw their faces. I can't do this. You look at the data and you're like, I know that this is the right choice because I've got some data here and what's going on. And if I ignore this data and the feeling inside me, I'm going to get 6 months down the road and it's going to be worse. I'm going to have to make a bigger decision, or the decision will be made for me because everyone has left the offering or whatever the case is. So marrying the data and the heart is a really good idea. So simply noticing the nudge that's in you and noticing behaviors from your customers is going to be really helpful. The key here is to write it down, track it, write your feelings down, write the data down, write what's going on so that you can go back to it. Because this is the thing, each of the changes I've made, it's at quarterly check-ins for me, which I do with my biz besties or myself. I have a whole podcast episode on that, on how to do a quarterly check-in. I do these quarterly check-ins, and that's when I've noticed every time, this is still happening. Like, I'm still thinking on this thing. And so that's been really, really helpful. The second tip I have for you is to talk it out. As you're looking and tracking at these changes, please don't do this by yourself. Find a biz bestie, a partner, a coach, a mastermind group, a group program, whatever works for you. Find people who will ask questions to help you dig deeper and make the really confident changes that you want to make in your business. Like, people asking you questions is going to help you so much. You want the people who are curious and who won't force you to do one thing or the other, but simply ask questions so you can actually work through it. This is a huge, huge, huge thing. So please don't ignore this one. And another thing that you can do is also talk to your customers to gain insight with what's going on. So this is a great time if you're feeling some sort of a nudge of some way, and you are like, you know what, I'm curious about this thing. It's a great time to do a survey or have some customer conversations. Jump on Zoom with a person and ask them some questions. They don't have to know about the change you're trying to make or decide to make. It's simply gathering information. Again, we're balancing the heart and the data here. You're going to talk it out, get your feelings out with someone that you trust, but you're also going to be looking at customer insights to get that data as well. And the third thing is to move forward with intention and confidence. So my friend, once you know it's time to make the decision and you've made the decision, it's time to move forward with clarity, intention, and confidence. And I know it's going to be hard. I've shared a lot in this podcast episode about how it's been very difficult for me to make some changes. And I promise you the feelings will be there. I promise you they're not going to be easy because you are doing hard things. But my friend, you can do hard things. You can do this. And I had a client of mine actually tell me once, and I have held on to this, and I want you to hold on to this like you were told by your client. I was about to make a change with something in one of my programs, and I said, I'm thinking about doing this, making this change, and specifically it was moving, so you have some context, I was moving the community element of my membership from Facebook to a different platform called Circle, which I really like. And I was really nervous about making that change. I mean, that was a change in a system that I thought, oh gosh, I don't know. Some people are going to be upset about it. And people like Facebook, I don't know, but I knew it was the right thing to do. So I was talking to one of my clients about it because I was, you know, getting that customer feedback before I made the change. And the client said this, or something close to this, Amanda, if you tell us this is where you're going and you have confidence in it, we're going to follow you. But if you're hesitant, we're going to be hesitant too. And that hit me so hard. And I thought, okay. So that led me to taking the time to make the choice. And once I made the choice and I was 100% confident in the choice, I moved forward with confidence. There was no wishy-washy with the communication. It is, we are moving from Facebook to Circle. and we are moving on this date. And after this date, the Facebook group is closed. Like, it was very clear. There was no, do you like this? If you have questions, let me know. Like, it was nothing like that. It was very clear and it worked just fine. Wouldn't you know? Wouldn't you know that when you move forward with confidence, things get better? But oftentimes you have to build that confidence as you are really navigating this change. So what I really want you to do is figure out what you need in order to be that confident to make the change. And then once you have that confidence, you can move forward with that intention. And I also found a great blog post from Calm. It's a wonderful app if you don't have it. And they listed 9 ways to navigate change, which I thought was so nice. And so I'll briefly run through these, but they're also in the show notes. So one is resist resisting. So opening up to the opportunity of growth. 2 is validate your feelings, because it's okay to be uneasy or feel that unease about change. 3, manage your expectations. Don't try to move too quickly and take your time. 4 is flex your equanimity muscle. This is the mind's ability to be okay with whatever is happening, good, bad, or ugly. So pause when the feelings arise and remind yourself that you'll be okay. 5 is lean into routine. So focus on things that you can keep the same and it will help you feel safe. 6 is reflect on your resilience. Remember the times that you've been out of your comfort zone before and how you've navigated it. 7 is to prioritize self-care. Seek support of others when you need it and take care of yourself. 8 is savor the good. Enjoy the things that bring you joy. Your senses will help with this a lot. And 9 is express yourself. Share with a trusted friend or therapist. Isn't that lovely? I just loved that. So I wanted to make sure I'll link that in the show notes. But all of those are just helpful in resisting change in all areas of your life, including your business. So your next step, my dear friend, is to recognize that change is inevitable in your business. You've been a customer of a business that's made change, so you've seen it in action so many times, but you simply weren't behind the curtain. You didn't see all the messiness back there, but now you are in the messiness. You are behind the curtain. You feel the emotions. You have all of the thoughts. You have all of the uneasy feelings and all of the questions and just all that comes around with change. And so you're in the mess, but remind yourself that you're not alone and that every successful business has to navigate change or else the business dies. There's no way you can survive if you don't follow the breadcrumbs for yourself and your customers. So you've done hard things before, you've navigated change before, and you're going to do it again. But it's likely going to feel uncomfortable along the way. So if you're navigating change right now and feeling all those feelings that are really unpleasant, usually, what I recommend that you do is this. 1 is collect data and notice what's changing. Remember, heart and data. Track your feelings and the data. 2, talk it out with a biz bestie or someone who you trust and ask them to probe you for more questions and really helping you dig to find the answers. And 3 is to give yourself time to learn and decide, and then you can move forward with confidence. And if you're not navigating a change right now, but you just wanted to listen to this, I recommend reflecting on what you're going to need when you're navigating change, because you're in a wonderful spot right now. Things are feeling good. You don't need to make a change. You might just make a note, you know, the next time I'm feeling a change happen, this is what I'll do. Because having a plan in place for the people you're going to reach out to or whatever you're going to track is going to make it easier when that comes up. So regardless of what you're navigating right now, I want to remind you that you've got this. I've said this a few times in the episode, and I want to say it again. You've done hard things. You've done them before, and you're going to do them again. So know that you can get through this. Nothing lasts forever. Collect the data, talk it out, and move forward with confidence. And until next time, give yourself permission to embrace change and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon.